Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
We're going to continue a series that we started a couple of weeks ago, which is about the Holy Spirit. And I'd really love to welcome you if you're here for maybe the first time or second time, or if you're here as a guest of those getting baptized. We're so grateful that you're here, so grateful that you're supporting. Come on, we can welcome all those people that are here supporting, all those people that are guests. So great to have you. And amazing to see Trinity and Noni baptized, and then Steve and Katie and Abby and Jackson later on, which is going to be incredible. But like I said, we're in a series on the Holy Spirit. This is week three, and too often when it comes to the Holy Spirit, people are on either two extremes of the pendulum. Either they're completely unaware of the Holy Spirit, or they're right around on the other side where they're maybe a little bit afraid. Maybe they've had some experiences with some crazy people that said it was the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But somewhere, too often, we tend to be on either extremes of those pendulums. But our heart and our goal over this series has been to understand and discover together that the Holy Spirit is not the force. The Holy Spirit is not some goosebumps or something else, but the Holy Spirit is a person who wants to have a relationship with you. That the Holy Spirit's not optional but essential. That He wants to fill you with power and boldness and confidence to be a witness. That's what we talked about last week. And you know, what does a witness do? A witness simply tells their story. It tells their story of how Jesus impacted them. That's what Trinity and Noni did this morning. That's what the Lindley family will do this afternoon. They'll share their story and their lives of how Jesus has impacted them. And in fact, I've got one more story that I want to show you. As Elevation Church, if you're not aware, we're one church across 11 locations. And so we are the only one on the West Coast. So obviously, you came to the best one. But we want to share your story of, it's a little bit full on, I'll tell you that. To begin with, but I want to share a story of a guy from our Tweed Coast location, that's on the north coast of New South Wales, who was also getting water baptized today. And so I'd love you just to look to the screen if we can show that. That would be amazing.
Name's Dane Weston. I left high school, grew up in the country in Goulburn, and aspired to play rugby league one day in the NRL, and was quite fortunate to do that for 12 years or so. And I did that up until 2015. I took my family, got two boys, Jet and Blaze, who were 6 and 9, and I was then married at the time. We went over there to the UK, and about 6 months in, I started dealing with my mental issues I'd had for a long time. I'd suffered from depression and anxiety for the majority of my life. My masking agent for that was rugby league. And I couldn't understand why, at the hardest part of my time in my lives, I was at the top of my game professionally. From the outside looking in, I was doing something I loved. I had two beautiful kids and I was married, and a perfect life from the outside, but within, I was broken. Got to a point where I thought about taking my life every day. It got that serious that I knew how it was going to happen. Time went on, and things were deteriorating with me, my relationship with my wife, and all of a sudden she made a decision to up and leave. I was left in the UK. My wife had left, taken my two kids away from me for months on end, and I just recently signed a 3-year deal with a club I was at to earn a lot of money, and it was going to set up my family for the rest of our lives. And within a matter of weeks, I had to retire. Suicide was on my mind every day, especially after the drugs and alcohol. It just expanded them thoughts bigger and bigger, as you can imagine. And then comes to a day that obviously I'd been thinking about for such a long time, and the hardest thing I had to do was to write a letter to my two boys to actually explain to them why their dad was leaving. That life's too hard for me, and why dad couldn't be here was something that I had to deal with for a long time, and I changed that letter so much. And I'd sent that to their mum and again attempted to take my own life that night. Lucky enough, I survived, and Boxing Day last year, I just decided to stop pointing the finger at everyone else, own up to my own misfortunes and do something about it. And 4 weeks later, I meet my now partner, and it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. First went to Elevation Church with my partner, Lydia. She'd been going for years now, and it was something that meant the world to her. And straight away I was like, well, that means so much to you that I obviously naturally would come along. And just after weeks of coming and months on end, I started to meet people at the church. Obviously got introduced to Pastor Locke, and I got to a stage where I said to Locke that, you know, I want to give my life to God, and that's when I made that decision. And that was the moment where I knew that, you know, God has a purpose for me, and God loves me, and this is what He wants. From that day on, was, you know, wanted to follow my life through God and live off His way and the way He wants for me and our family. Jesus was baptised, and now that I'm a follower of Christ, I want to be baptised as well and have Him at the, you know, forefront of my mind in everything I do. A lot of people around me have just seen the change in me. They've been through the hard times that I've been through, and to see me so happy now when, a few years ago I didn't want to be here anymore. It's crazy how in such a short period of time I can be impacted so greatly.
Wow, come on, we can clap that again. What an incredible, incredible story. You know, I love how Dean finished, because he talked about people noticing the difference in his life and then questioning what's going on. Because we all understand that if we see something different externally, then there must be some sort of change within. You see, the Bible gives us this concept, and it uses the picture of fruit. You know, and so if we imagine a certain fruit, maybe, you know, your favorite is apple, or maybe it's bananas, or maybe it's a mango. Do we get mangoes in Mandra? Coles. Or Farmer Jack's, maybe. But that's my point. If we know the fruit, hopefully we don't just know that they appear in Coles or Woolworths or IGA or Farmers Jack. I say all of them in case you're wondering, I'm getting cash for comment. I'm not. So we just make sure we cover right across, okay? But hopefully we understand that they come from some type of tree or plant. And so an apple comes from an apple tree, obviously. A banana tree is not going to produce an apple. And so today we're speaking about the Holy Spirit. And I remember I said that the Bible gives us this picture of fruit as a way of explaining what happens internally will always develop or produce fruit externally. And so there's a scripture that we want to use as our key one for today in Galatians 5, chapter 2, verses 23. If you've got your Bible, you can look at it. If not, it's on the giant Bible behind me there. And it says this: but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. You see, when we allow the Holy Spirit into our lives and continue to let Him grow, it produces a different kind of fruit. It produces the fruit that the Bible talks about right there, where maybe there's previously been anger or unrest and jealousy, there's now self-control, peace, or contentment. Where previously there may have been resentment and bitterness and disappointment, there's now wholeness and forgiveness and hope. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Oh, sweet deal. This is great. If I just let this guy, the Holy Spirit, come around my life, he's going to produce all this stuff. That's amazing. You know, sign me up now. That sounds phenomenal. But I want to let you know that we have some responsibility in this. In the same chapter of Galatians, a couple of verses earlier, verse 16 says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Now, when I think of a guide, I don't think of that little two-page pamphlet that you get with your new TV that you never read. You know, like the little systems guide, and like, you know, especially if you're a bloke, you're like, I'm a man, I don't need instructions. Like, what is this? You know, just plug it in, turn it on, have a go, fiddle with some stuff, see what happens. That's not the type of guide I picture. The type of guide that I picture is the one that I'm actually going to be relying on in a few short weeks. Because you see, on the 7th of July, myself and all the men who are location pastors across our 11 locations as Elevation, we're going on a bit of an adventure together, a bit of team building, and so we're actually walking the Kokoda Trail.
Yeah.
So pray for me a lot. I have been doing some training, don't fear, I have been doing some training, but need to do a whole bunch more. But that's the type of guide that I'm thinking of. The guide who we're going to follow on the 96 kilometers of walking over. And Pastor Ross, who is our lead pastor across 11 locations, for those of you who don't know him, he's loves adventure, loves pushing the limits. So in true Ross style, we are doing the fastest, hardest possible version. So we're doing it over 6 days instead of 9 days, which is just going to be amazing. But when I think of a guide, I'm thinking of the guy that we're going to be following. I'm thinking of the guy that'll take us on those 96 kilometers through the PNG jungle from Kokoda to Owner's Corner. And I'm thinking of that type of guide. So when I read, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives," I'm thinking not of the little two-page pamphlet I got with my TV. I'm thinking about the guy who I'm going to follow to ensure that I actually get to see my family again. Yeah. They don't end up being lost in the PNG jungle. Anyway, I'm not so confident of my survival skills. I know I've watched Bear Grylls a couple of times, but somehow I don't think that'll quite be enough. I don't know if you can hear the desperation in my voice right here, but it's amazing when the stakes are lifted, how much more attention that you pay.
Yeah.
And so today, for these few moments that we have left, I want to talk about a few things that I'm going to be doing with our Kokoda guide, because I'm pretty sure they're going to help us to embrace the Holy Spirit as our guide as we journey through life. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Number one is this. The first thing that I'm going to understand about my Kokoda guide is I'm going to trust that his path is the best path.
Yeah,
I'm going to trust that his path is the best path. There's no way, and I mean absolutely no way, no matter the amount of researching I may have done on Google, no matter how many, you know, things I've checked through or forums I've looked at, there is absolutely no way that I am going to find a different, faster route through the PNG jungle. There's no way I'm going to try going around the other side of the mountain because, you know, oh, that bit just looks a little bit easier. Why? Because I'm going to trust that the guide knows the best path. I know this sounds blatantly obvious, and like, yeah, of course, are you messed up or something, but in our own life, in our own journey of faith, wherever we are with that, whether we're right at the beginning, whether we're still unsure, whether we've been following Jesus for years, how much do you trust that the Holy Spirit's path is the best path? You see, Jesus, he was speaking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit who was going to come. And he said to them in John 16, verse 13, he said this. He said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." He will tell you about the future. One of the biggest examples of this for me was, it's a fair few years ago now because I'm getting old, but when I finished high school, way back in the year 2000, and it was amazing. You know, as the clock ticked over that 00, even though we all went out and bought the Y2K debugging thing, no planes fell from the sky and nothing crazy like that happened. But when I finished high school, and that in year 12, I had a decision to make. At the start of the year, I was heavily involved in music or drumming. Some people don't count that as music, but it is, I promise. So I was heavily involved in music. I was living near Newcastle on the East Coast, so you know, about 2 hours north of Sydney. And I wanted to actually move to Sydney to study music full time. That was my goal. And I remember telling my then pastor at that time that was my plan. And he just said this little throwaway line, which didn't really make much sense. But he said to me, "Oh, but you won't be able to run a life group from Sydney." I was like involved in youth ministry and involved in leadership. And I thought, that's strange. And have you ever had one of those little, you know, like annoying comments like that, that just start to stick with you? Like, I tried to get rid of it over the course of sort of 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 months. He said at the start of the year, I tried to get rid of this thought, and it just kept coming back. And in fact, it actually started to grow. Because at the time, in Newcastle, I could commute half an hour and do basically like a one-year internship Bible college, and I'd heard about that as well. And so I had my plan for my life, but suddenly, through someone's throwaway comment, I would say the Holy Spirit started to nudge me and speak to me about what was the best path. And, you know, it was hard, but it was so significant. I remember finishing year 12, and particularly because my dad wasn't a Christian, I thought I should apply for uni, and I got into something ultra boring like information science or something like that. Sorry if that's your field, I apologize. It's great for you, but I'm so glad that I never did that course. But something happened. The Holy Spirit started to highlight the best path for my life. Does that mean that's the best path to everyone's life? No, no, no. The Holy Spirit has a unique path for your life. Yeah. No matter your age, no matter your season, no matter your stage of life, you're like, well, I've lived a whole bunch of years, Marty. I think I'm stuck on my path. Can I tell you, no matter your season of life, the Holy Spirit has the best path for you, that He wants to guide you into the best path. And you know what? It's not just for all those big decisions as well. Here's some questions for you. Do you trust that His path of forgiveness is the best when really you don't want to forgive? When really it's more convenient to hold on to the hurt that person caused, or the bitterness that happened, or the disappointment that happened through that missed opportunity at work, or that family breakdown, or whatever has gone on? Do you trust, though, that His path of forgiveness is the best path? What about the path of integrity? When everyone else is significantly bending the rules, or maybe the path of integrity will actually cost you more money in your business, but will you trust that the Holy Spirit's path is the best path? What about the path of purity? As a single person, when maybe everyone else is hooking up and everyone else is getting in relationships, or maybe as a husband or a wife, when maybe your marriage isn't exactly firing on all cylinders, will you trust the path that the Holy Spirit has, which is the path of purity for your life, for your heart, and for your actions? You see, it's easy to think sometimes of just the big things, but I want to encourage you this morning that the Holy Spirit's your guide, that He has the best path, and that we don't know best. In fact, the Bible says it like this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." You see, the first thing when it comes to following my Kokoda guy that I'm going to do is I'm going to trust that His path is the best path. Yeah. So it's number one. Number two is this, really simple. I'm going to listen to His voice. I'm going to listen to His voice. Back to Kokoda. Pretty much whatever the guide says, I'm going to do. If he says we're going left, guess what I'm doing? Going left. If he says duck because there's, I don't know, a tree branch about to fall, or I don't know, something crazy is going to happen, you know, bananas are falling on us, or I don't know, whatever. I'm going to trust and I'm going to listen to his voice. Not only am I going to trust that he's got the best path, but I'm going to stay on high alert and listen for his voice. Now, if you're a parent, you know this feeling. And we've all been there, and there's no judgment here, so it's totally fine to admit. But we've all been in that place where maybe there's a group of families that are all together somewhere. Maybe you're at the park, maybe you're at your house, maybe someone else's house. You're out somewhere, and your parent ears pick up the distressed cry of a child. And instinctively, what we all do in about 2 seconds is we work out, is this my kid or not? And then when we hear and we realize it's not, maybe on the inside, not the outside, we think, yes, not my kid. You know, it's okay to admit. It's okay to admit. We're all like that. But you see, there's something about parents, something about grandparents. I'm sure that you know the voice of your child. You know the voice of your grandchild. You see, parents and grandparents, they've tuned their ears to know the cry or to know the voice. They can focus on that even in a noisy, crowded room. You see, for the Holy Spirit to guide us, I want to encourage you that we need to get to know his voice. Because often he's speaking, but we're unaware. See, sometimes there's too much noise going on that just drowns out his voice. We haven't tuned our ears to know what the Holy Spirit is saying. But I want to tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit wants you to hear. He wants to speak to you. He wants to listen. He wants you to listen. No matter if you've never done that in your life ever before, that's totally fine. You know what? Today is a great day to start because he wants to speak encouragement. He wants to speak hope. He wants to speak destiny into your life. He wants to speak comfort. He wants to speak life, and he wants to speak purpose into your heart. You know, just like, and obviously, he didn't go into all the details, but Dane's story, I wonder how much the Holy Spirit played a part. On that night that he talked about, I wonder how much God's grace and his mercy and his forgiveness was right there for that man's life. And you know what? I know there's been many others, and it's so easy to ask the question, go, well, if it was there for him, was it not there for others? Or how does this all work? But I want to encourage that the Holy Spirit is always speaking. And he wants to speak to your heart. He wants to speak to your life. We read earlier, actually, let's go here for a second. You might ask, well then, how do we begin to hear the Holy Spirit's voice? How do we begin to hear God speaking to us through his Spirit? Well, Psalm 119:105 says this. It says, your word, speaking about the Bible, the scripture, God's word in our lives, says your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Yes. I want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit works with the Word of God, works with the Scripture, works with the Bible. The Holy Spirit is never contrary to it. We read earlier from John 16 that the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own, but he'll speak what he's been told by the Father. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Maybe you're here and you've been a Christian for a while and you feel the Holy Spirit is not speaking anymore. I want to challenge you, how much are you listening? How much are you reading through God's Word? How much are you allowing the language of the Scripture and God's Spirit into your heart so that you can respond and hear his voice as he's speaking to us? You know, and we all hear the Holy Spirit's voice differently. I love the fact that we're water baptizing Steve and his whole family in the ocean. Why? Because that's where he started to hear God's voice for the first time. It doesn't have to happen in a church in an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. You can be out in nature. You can be listening to worship. You can be reading through the Word of God. You can just be meditating on some of the great things that you've seen God do in and through your life, or the greatness of God. You can look up and see those amazing WA sunsets and think, you know what? There must be a God here. There must be something bigger than what we see right now. And I want to encourage you, as you do that, the Holy Spirit will start to speak to your lives, because he's always speaking. And it's on It's our responsibility to listen. You know, maybe this is your first time in church, and I talk about that His Word or the Bible is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and maybe you picked it up once and you're like, this is so confusing, and do I read from the start to the finish, and it looks a little bit like a phone directory, and you know, well, we can't really use that anymore because phone directories don't exist, but anyway, just sort of showing my age. For the teenagers, there used to be this really thick book that had numbers in it, everyone's number. I know, what? I know. It's called a phone directory. I deliver it once a year at your front door. Anyone remember those back in the day? No. What? What? No, it must have just been a New South Wales thing. Sorry, you're like cutting edge here. But the Word of God is more than just words on a page, more than just those things that the Gideons leave in hotel rooms. But when the Holy Spirit gets on it, when we read and we tune ourselves to listen to God's voice, it's like the words just jump off the page. It's like something that you've read for maybe 10 years, suddenly the Holy Spirit speaks something to your heart and it's like, oh wow, that's just transformed something. Maybe you've, you know, been to church for years, but it just been tradition or it just been religion. I want to encourage you this morning, as you allow the Holy Spirit around your life and around your heart, He wants to come and He wants to speak, because God's Spirit wants to guide us. Why does He want to guide us? Because He wants the fruit of our life to be that love, to be that peace, to be patience, to be kindness, to be goodness, to be that one we always like to leave out, self-control, be faithfulness. Why? Because something has changed on the inside of our lives, because God's Spirit is guiding us. His Spirit is guiding us. And this morning, just as we wrap up and Josh joins me up here, this is my challenge for you this morning. A couple of questions. Just to challenge you this morning. Number one is this: would you humble yourself? Would you humble yourself no matter your season of life and trust that God's path is the best path for your life? Would you do that? Would you humble yourself and go, you know what, God, your path is actually the best path for my life? Maybe you feel like you've gone so far off track. Maybe you've gone so far into the PNG jungle, you're like, there's no way I could possibly get out of this, or I'm stuck in this rut, or this is now my life and it's just going to be like this all the way to the end. Can I encourage you, friend, that God has a plan and a destiny and a purpose for your life? That we could not run too far from God, that He's not able to redeem us and call us back. That there's nothing that you have done, there's nothing that anyone could have done to you that makes you too far from God's love and God's grace. It's available for all. I want to tell you that this morning. It's available for all, that He has the best path for your life. If you'd humble yourself, come on, let's be honest, that's a tough thing for us, because we like to be right. Is it just me? We like to be right. There's nothing like driving in the car with your wife to realize that you want to be right when it comes to directions, when it comes to how fast we brake, how fast we drive maybe. You know, we want to be right, but I want to tell you, there's something powerful when we humble ourselves and say, you know what, God, you actually have the best path. And not only do I acknowledge that, but I'm going to listen to your Spirit, who wants to guide me into the best steps, the best way. He wants to fill me with encouragement and love and purpose, because He has the best for my life. So would you tune your ear? Would you listen to His voice? Would you cut the noise? Would you read His Word? Would you start to listen? Because I want to tell you that God wants to speak to your life, wants to speak to your heart.